talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. By far the biggest news item, it was on the front page of the New York Times today, is the Wisconsin election for Supreme Court. Primary, February 21, general, April 21. You realize that February 21 is 3 weeks from this coming Tuesday. 3 weeks from this coming Tuesday to winnow down a field of four down to two. This is a nonpartisan primary, which means when you go in, you can vote in either primary and it doesn't affect anything else you do. For instance, in the Milwaukee area, there is a state Senate race in the 8th Senate district. And if you can vote in the Republican primary, or the Democratic primary, but both can still vote in the nonpartisan state Supreme Court primary. It's 3 weeks from Tuesday, folks, 3 weeks from Tuesday. The New York Times had two pictures in it of the four candidates, one of Janet Protasiewicz. That's the person I'm supporting. She's terrific, Judge Janet, Protasiewicz. She is the fundraising leader of all the candidates combined. She raised more money, more support than all of them combined. But I want to go through the four of them right now, tell you how important it is to vote on February 21. We'll start with Janet. Janet a prosecutor in the Milwaukee County DA's office for well over 20 years, I think around 26 years. I personally do not know any Supreme Court candidate who has ever prosecutor longer than that and had as many complex cases as she did. And then she became a judge and was reelected and has a superb reputation. The most experienced prosecutor and judge in that field, in my opinion. Second one, and actually before I go to the second one, the New York Times pointed out that she very bravely at one of the forums said flat out, bring on a gerrymandering case because these elections are rigged, these maps are rigged, we need fair maps. And remember, it's a 4-3 Republican Supreme Court. They're not supposed to be Republican or Democrat, but that's the way it's shaken out. One of them one of the conservatives is retiring, and so it's 3-3. Whoever wins this is going to determine the Supreme Court for 10 years. 10 years. It's a 10-year term. If, and this is a statement from the advocates for getting rid of gerrymandering, if Janet Protasiewicz is elected, the very next day they will file. She would get sworn in, I think it's April 2nd. Let's strike that. April 4th is the general election, and you get sworn in August, August 2nd. The very next day, they would file a gerrymandering suit to throw it out. They would throw it out. Her main opponent is a guy named Daniel Kelly. Daniel Kelly is a right-wing Trumper, believes strongly in gerrymandering, would have voted not to certify Joe Biden, even though he won the primary. And remember, it was only a 4-3 decision that certified Joe Biden, even though he won the primary. And that's only because Brian Hagedorn, one of the Republicans, who I think was straight up about this, read the Constitution, said, look, it doesn't matter who I voted for. I'm going to follow the will of the Wisconsin voters. But three of them didn't. And this guy, Kelly, would not. And he is as far apart from Janet Protasiewicz as you can get. Third one is Jennifer Doro. Now, Jennifer Doro is a judge in Waukesha County. And she got a little ink today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I want to mention that because it's extremely important. There was a fellow named Cade Remington UWM student who died of fentanyl poisoning. And Michael Doro, Janet Doro's son, is under investigation for having sold him that fentanyl. People who are friends of Cade Remington saw him at Axel's Bar in Milwaukee, Oakland Avenue. I know that area. I know that bar. Saw him go out and go across the street and take something from Michael Doro. Came back. He went in the bathroom and a bouncer threw him out. He took what he thought was some kind of an opiate. It looks like it was laced with fentanyl, unknown to him, and he died about 1:30 that morning. Two of Cade Remington's friends told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that in October of 2021, Michael Doro, Jennifer Doro's son, showed them and others via a private Snapchat story what he said was a text from his mother, Judge Doro, that said, "Are you still dealing drugs? Are you still dealing drugs?" The father of Cade Remington confronted Jennifer Doro in a restaurant in Madison, and she walked away and refused to talk to him. Michael Doro has lawyered up. It's not clear who is paying for the lawyer. And Jennifer Doro simply won't respond to any questions such as who's paying for the lawyer, why won't your son cooperate with law enforcement to find out the origin of this fentanyl and so on. Fentanyl can kill. The adage is one pill can kill. This fentanyl typically comes from Mexico. There are two fentanyl factories down there. The Mexican government is crooked. The parliament is crooked. The senior law enforcement people are crooked. One of them is on, a guy named Luna is on trial right now. He was the head of the equivalent of their FBI, who was in with the cartel and got money from the cartel. There was another one who was the equivalent of the defense secretary who we were prosecuting. And Mexico demanded his return to be tried there. And if they didn't, they would expose our undercover agents in Mexico, who would have then been tortured and killed. So under Trump, we turned over this guy and he went back and he was, quote, acquitted, end quote, and praised, even though we had hundreds of emails showing he was on the take from the cartels. Mexico is a narco state, it's crooked. Crooked narco state. This fentanyl comes up from there. They make it, looks like little candies, and one pill can kill. And one pill killed Cade Reddington. Now, they're still investigating it because they have to prove a line of custody of that pill to Cade Reddington. But my question is to Judge Doro, if you sent, as your son Michael Doro showed to people, a text back in October 2021 saying, "Are you still dealing drugs?" What did you know about that? Why didn't you turn over information to the law enforcement simply to stop other people from getting killed? Because Cade Reddington died shortly after that. You've got to stop fentanyl from coming in. Now, Jennifer Doro has no business running for Supreme Court for a lot of reasons. First of all, she's only doing it because she was randomly assigned that case about that evil murderer who ran over people in the parade in Waukesha. So there's a lot of TV, all right? And he represented himself. He was an evil clown. She sentenced him to life, which she was required to do by law. It was not particularly difficult from a judicial point of view, but with all that, the TV, it went to her head. Well, she should not have run, quite frankly, especially with her son showing people saying, text from her saying, "Are you still dealing drugs?" And there's no indication that she's cooperating at all about where this fentanyl came from to prevent other deaths. The other thing is you can't run for Supreme Court at the last minute just because you were on TV a little bit. So Jennifer Doro, in my opinion, is not going to come out of that primary. And frankly, in addition to that, the E-Lines in Illinois, who have the U-Line company, who put in something like $27 million to elect Ron Johnson, Sly Mandela Barnes, have said they're just waiting in the wings to pour millions in to slime whoever the one of the two Democrats emerges. Well, here's the deal. You remember the sliming that happened to Mandela Barnes, and he was totally innocent. They just kept up putting up pictures of him and the guy who killed people in the Waukesha parade as if there was some linkage. Enough people bought it so that Mandela lost by, I think, about 27,000 votes statewide. The fourth candidate is the Honorable Reverend Mitchell, fellow named Everett Mitchell. Everett Mitchell is a Dane County judge, and Everett Mitchell is the fellow whose former wife accused him of slipping her a sleeping pill and then having sex with her when she was unable to consent. He denied it, said any sex was consensual. She's the one who also said that he abused her so much that she checked herself into a hospital. He denied that he was the cause of her going to the hospital. She said that he had such problems that she checked him into a mental health facility. He said he checked himself into the mental health facility, said he was homeless for a period of time. He founded a church, and he is now the pastor. Well, I don't know where to begin on that. 3 weeks to the primary, and gerrymandering is at stake. And do I want the billionaire donors of the Republican Party sliming him the way they slimed Mandela? And here, they're going to have more to work with. You're going to have then another 6 weeks to the general election of did he check himself into the mental institution or the facility, I should say? Or did she check him in? Did she check herself into the hospital because he abused her or for some other reason? Was it sex consensual even though she'd taken a sleeping pill? Or did he give her the sleeping pill? I don't want that. I want an end of gerrymandering. Let's get real here. The final will be Janet Protasiewicz, and she will win, and we'll get rid of gerrymandering. On a break, lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Andy of Beaver Dam.
Well, Matt, now as we have this revelation about the Waukesha judge's issue, as you say, I would say three of the candidates have more baggage than, as you say, the bellhop at the Pfister. You know, I don't know. I don't really know of anybody. I mean, because we have a history with the Republican supported by the Uhlines and all that. His name escapes me, but you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, I don't know who else could be as qualified as Judge Janet is, you know, I mean, or without having all these side issues to be concerned about. Sometime I'd like you, this may not be the appropriate time, but I'd like you to just kind of point out the past senators that we've had in the state of Wisconsin, being that we're stuck with Ron Johnson for another 6 years. People that, you know, then like Nelson and Royce Coles and Proxmire, different people that you admire from your political history background, that, you know, we've had good senators in the past, and it just seems like, you know, we have a hell of a time getting good candidates to come in there, you know, and do it. I'd be interested sometime to follow up on that. But at any rate, that's all I got for today.
That's terrific, Andy. Thank you. And I may hit that a little bit now, but we have so much to talk about today. With your indulgence, I may stick to our game plan on issues and then fill that in a future segment. But Bill Proxmire was my mentor. He was a wonderful man. And when I first ran for office, he took me under his wing and he really helped me quite a bit. Les Aspin, marvelous congressman from the Racine, Kenosha, Beloit, Janesville area. And then Henry Royce, congressman from Milwaukee. Dave Obey, the 7th Congressional District, which now is being desecrated by Thomas Tiffany. Gaylord Nelson, Pat Lucy, Marty Schreiber. These were giants. They really were giants. But, you know, as you mentioned, the people with more baggage than the bellhop at the Pfister, except for Judge Janet, that's true. And let me tell you about this Kelly. Kelly is the guy, Daniel Kelly, as a result of this revelation about Doro, writing a, according to her son, sending a text saying, are you still dealing drugs, in October of the year? And then Cade Reddington died in November. I mean, for God's sake, if you think your son is dealing fentanyl, fentanyl is a killer. You know, people will buy opiates thinking it's just an opiate. These are counterfeit opiates. The Mexican cartel are sending them into the United States disguised as candy. The Mexican government is taking a take. The head of their FBI, the equivalent, the head of the Defense Department. They are crooked. And it would not be a bad idea, frankly. We know there are two fentanyl factories. Bomb them both. Bomb them both. You know, yeah, it's a friendly country, but they won't do it because some of them are on the take. That's why. But let me tell you something about this Daniel Kelly, who's bad, bad news. He went to probably the most right-wing law school in the country. So did Jennifer Doro, the same one. And on their law review, this is just a beaut. On their law review, and this is according to Bruce Murphy's Urban Milwaukee, so you should check that out. On their law review, apparently, somebody sent in an article to be published called Killing an Abortion Doctor is Justifiable Homicide. Okay? Now, to their credit, they didn't print it. They didn't print it. Okay, I get it. I was the editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Law Review when I was in law school. I was the guy that decided what articles we published. We got tons of articles. They were scholarly and great and all. We didn't get nutty things like killing an abortion doctor is justifiable homicide. Now, they didn't publish it, I agree, but who goes to a law school like that? Were they even presumed to send that in? You do not want Dan Kelly. He's a Trumper and an election denier. On the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. We have about a minute and a half before the break. Wisco Paul.
Okay, thanks for taking my call, Matt. First of all, it was bad enough when Judge Doro was endorsed by the election-denying Supreme Court justice that was retiring. There's two other ones on there that are staying, so that's bad enough. Now, understand, she endorsed Doro, and she denied Joe Biden's election. But the biggest thing here, this all comes down to gerrymandering. If you watch Tony Evers' address, the Republicans sat on their hands. He wants to spend, I don't know how many million, on fixing forever chemicals. For God's sakes, the Michigan fishery alone is worth I don't know how much money. And the fish out there don't have forever chemicals in them in Green Bay. Oneida County, you can't drink the water. And they've stonewalled it since 2019. So it's imperative we get this Supreme Court justice race right. And as far as I'm concerned, there's only one person that can fix what's wrong in the state of Wisconsin. And, I mean, it's just sick what the Republicans have done with the water. So thanks for taking my call, Matt, and have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Yeah, here's the deal. Gerrymandering has consequences. Cancer water, it has consequences. Cancer fish, so you can't eat many of them, it has consequences. Slowly destroying the University of Wisconsin by starving it of money, it has consequences. Attacking public education, it has consequences. Enforcing the 1849 abortion law that women didn't even get to vote on back in 1849, it has consequences. So I don't want to sit around feeling sorry for the Reverend Mitchell, okay? God bless him, you know, but I don't want to get in touch with his inner weasels over 6 weeks with people sliming him with $30 million worth of advertising. Judge Janet Protasiewicz is the most qualified. So we support the most qualified person. Judge Janet, not Doro, not Kelly, not Mitchell. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, some good news. Today is the day. $1 million is being given away right now. Right as we speak, $1 million. Free advertising, professionally produced. Go immediately to our website, civicmedia.us/million. civicmedia.us/million for a piece of $1 million. Small business, you have something you want to promote, have a buddy who has a small business or a neighbor or a friend, or there's somebody in town you think highly of, get on the website right now, civicmedia.us/million. You're right in the middle of it, right in the middle of it. $1 million worth of advertising, free advertising for the taking. We're excited about it. Civic Media continues to grow our network of radio stations around the state. Pretty soon, you'll be able to hear us everywhere, every county, every little nook and cranny in the state. Very proud of that. Go on our website, civicmedia.us/millions. Today and only today. Only today, get a piece of that free $1 million advertising. Go to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, eh, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Great show as usual. The Supreme Court in the state of Wisconsin, I think it's also known as the court of last resort. This is where people go and they decide whether or not they're going to hear a person's case. Now, we all know of qualifications for, say, head of a company or, you know, chief operating officer or different types of things like this. Now, as a layperson, you know, I've looked at the courts and studied a little bit about it, but as a person that has worked in the courts and had cases before courts, what qualifications? I mean, I know there's qualifications for a judge, a circuit judge or county judge or whatever, but for the court of last resort, what qualifications does this person need? You know, I hear a lot of times, you know, oh, experience. What tasks, skills, experience, abilities, qualifications would there be for a person to sit in a position of this stature and importance?
Yeah, thank you. You know, that's a fantastic question, Gene. And let me address that because, as you know, when I got out of the Navy, I went to the EW Law School. I was the editor-in-chief of the Law Review. And then I was invited by Judge Thomas Fairchild, the chief judge of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, the federal court, the federal appellate court, just under the U.S. Supreme Court, to be one of his law clerks. Had a wonderful experience. He was a great mentor. And then I came out and I immediately started to practice law with a great law firm and practiced for about 40 years, 39, 40 years. And I have argued many cases in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit, and then a variety of trial courts. I've tried cases, appeared on motions, not just in Wisconsin, but in California, in Illinois, and elsewhere. So, yeah, and I've given that some thought. And the reason that I'm supporting Judge Janet Protasiewicz, and it's not even close in this case, but first of all, you want someone who's honest. You want someone who's experienced. You want someone who has a good judicial demeanor, who's fair, who's compassionate with people, but very firm and enforces the law. And she has all of that. She was a prosecutor in Milwaukee County, which has the toughest cases, frankly, in the state in terms of violence and so on, for I think it was 26 years. It was well over 20 years. Then she went on the bench, and then she got reelected. And she is there's no one more experienced running for the Supreme Court. And for, as far as her demeanor, so on, I've known her for 40 years, and I know her husband, Greg Sell, who was a law school classmate of mine. And she got very early on, she's very smart and had a good education, but she also, she worked for Jerry Klitschko in his campaigns, and she, her heart's in the right place when it comes to issues, but as a prosecutor, she was very firm. She was tough and fair, and I like that about her, and I respect that about her. This isn't even close in this case. The guy who's looking to be her principal opponent, this Daniel Kelly, was not a judge initially. Walker, Scott Walker, just flat out appointed him to the Wisconsin Supreme Court because it was a vacancy, and he did a terrible job, and then he was beaten. He had to run for election. Once you're appointed, you got to then run for election. He got beaten. So that's, you know, appointed by Walker, didn't make the grade, did a terrible job. And, as I say, went to one of the most right-wing law, probably the most right-wing law firm, a law school in the country, which whose law review got these nutty articles that they rejected that I've described. And he's an election denier. He's a Trumper. He attacked Brian Hagedorn. Now, Brian Hagedorn is a Republican, but he was the guy that voted to certify Joe Biden. So it was 4-3. If Brian Hagedorn hadn't done that, we would have had a constitutional crisis. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, three of them that are still on there, wouldn't obey the will of the Wisconsin voter. And Dan Kelly attacked Brian Hagedorn for doing that. Dan Kelly would not have certified Biden. He is an election denier. You might as well have Gableman on there or Voss on there. He's bad news. The other two, this Jennifer Doro, her only real credential, in my view, is that she happened to be on a high-profile case that got a lot of TV, and so she jumped in at the last minute. But I'm very concerned about this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today saying that her son, Michael Doro, showed several people a text from her that said, "Are you still dealing drugs?" We're talking fentanyl here that killed Cade Rennington. And fentanyl is disguised as little candies, and it's being shipped over the border from Mexico. There are two factories down there. I think we should bomb them, quite frankly. The Mexican government, some of them are on the take. Crooked narco state is what it is. And people are dying. One pill can kill. And there's no evidence at all that she reported that or that in any respect she's done anything. No one will say who's paying for her son's lawyers. And he won't cooperate. No one's saying whether she's advising him or anything of that nature. I don't want this in the Supreme Court, okay? So you don't want Kelly, you don't want Doro. And the Reverend, Honorable Reverend, I mean, Mitchell, there is more baggage than the bellhop at the Pfister has. I mean, look, you saw what happened to Mandela Barnes. And the Elines put, I think, $27 million into sliming Mandela Barnes. They are slime experts, and they will sit there like spiders across the border in Illinois, and they will pump millions into this race, and they will try to slime whoever, but it ain't going to work with Judge Janet Protasiewicz. The clowns who try to slime her, she'll go, "Really, how many cases have you prosecuted? How many murders? How many rapes? How many cases where witnesses get murdered by defendants who somebody foolishly let out on bail?" She knows this stuff. Not going to put up with any baloney. Very firm, but very honest and fair. And she flat out said, alone among all these people, "Bring on a gerrymandering case. The maps are rigged." That's what she said. She doesn't mince words. She doesn't mince words. And the final thing that I will say, Gene, is this. Let's get real here. I've been on the air for a while now with this radio network. How many times have you and other people, good people, called in saying gerrymandering is terrible, it's anti-democratic, it's killing us, the politicians are picking their voters, voters aren't picking the politicians, and it's resulted in a terrible legislature, frankly, on both sides. First of all, we get something like 50%, when I say we, the Democrats, or more, of the vote, and we get a third of the legislature. A third? That's not democracy. And it's resulted in poison water, poison fish, attacks on public education to the point where reduced spending on public education, demoralization of teachers, Act 10, all this stuff, right to work to destroy unions. What are you waiting for, everybody? You think that gerrymandering is going to get somehow overturned by accident because people are good folks? Well, they're not good folks. They're not good folks. The Republican Party are not good folks. This is not the Republican Party you knew when you were younger. And there is one candidate here in this field who's flat out said she'll get rid of gerrymandering. The two Republicans are for gerrymandering. The Honorable Reverend has made voices saying, well, it doesn't seem fair. Very weak, very, very weak. But more to the point, after the Republican slime machine gets through him, he's going to be unrecognizable. I mean, how long is your memory? Remember Mandela Barnes? You want to get rid of gerrymandering, you vote for Judge Janet. Janet Protasiewicz, she's terrific. I want to talk about some unbelievable things about Ukraine. The Russian genocide continues. I'm very proud to say that Joe Biden is sending 31 Abrams tanks, state-of-the-art tanks over to Ukraine. And that will free up about 100 Leopard tanks, German tanks, from the allies in Europe, all of whom have some of them. Germany had chickened out. It's a green socialist government. They didn't want to, you know, they initially sent 5,000 helmets. Well, Biden leaned on them, and the Ruskies are going to pay the price. Joe, however, send planes, please. Send F-16s. You don't have to send F-35s. You don't have to send state-of-the-art. The Ukrainians are great pilots. Send F-16s. Send F-16s and stronger missile systems. The 180-range HIMAR missiles. Ukraine's the size of Texas. You sent them 50-mile missiles. Send them 180-mile missiles. The Ruskies have got to be driven out there. They're genocidal sadists. And you don't think I'm that's right? Let me tell you a story that shocked me, and I hesitate to mention it. It's so disgusting. I've told you before that the Ruskies right now, if one of their guys are wounded, they just leave him there to die. In some cases, they put a bullet in his head. If he's not wounded, if he can halfway walk, they send him back into battle. Their meat. Yevgeny Prigozhin, the sadistic head of the Wagner Group, which is their SS, it's a Nazi type unit, just disclosed that on his orders, they castrated one of the Wagner Group who tried to flee the battle. If you try to surrender or free, that is the sanction that you face in the Wagner Group. These people are animals. They're insects. Putin is a trapped rat. The commie Ruskies became the mafia Ruskies, as you know, but there's still a communist party over there, and they were protesting in Moscow that Putin has to be overthrown. The commies, that Putin has to be overthrown. Putin and his fellow thieves and running dogs steal 80% of the surplus wealth of Russia. That's why they have bad, inadequate arms. Untrained soldiers don't even have bandages. They have some bandages that were dated back in the 50s. But they have nuclear weapons. Biden is doing a superb job. He's now sending them Abrams tanks, the state-of-the-art tanks in the world, which frees up the Leopard tanks because the Germans were afraid that if they went out on the limb and did it without our support, that Russia would be, quote, mad at them. Oh, why would they be mad at you? You invaded Russia. Russia was a Nazi state. Stalin had an accord with Hitler in 1940 to divide up Poland and fought on the side of the Nazis till Hitler betrayed him and went in, killed millions of people. Stalin killed 20 million people. Why would you think they'd be afraid? You idiots. You should follow the U.S. lead. Now they are following the U.S. lead. I'm very exercised about this. The Ukrainians are good people. They're being the subject of genocide. This is not a war, and everything should be done to get Putin killed, and this Prigozhin, Yevgeny Prigozhin, the sadist, he's like a Nazi warlord. he get killed too. This is what he's doing to his own Wagner Group soldiers. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a piece of good news, I think, for our party. Adam Schiff just announced that he's running for the Senate, in California. I just got an email asking for a contribution, and it was announced by the media overall. Remember, Dianne Feinstein is 89. She's the incumbent. She's up in 2024. She'll be 91 or so, 90 or 91. She'll be 96 or 7 at the end of that term. And frankly, she's kind of losing it. She acted very strangely in the Judiciary Committee when Amy Comey Barrett was nominated and then confirmed, sadly. And finally, Schumer just took her aside and said, look, you're senior, you should be the chairman, but is it okay if you just fade into the sunset on this? And she said, fine. I don't think she's going to run again. There are a couple of other good candidates. I'm very high on Adam Schiff. I think he has a lot of guts. And now that what's happened is, of course, they've knifed him. Kevin McCarthy won't put him on the Intelligence Committee. I think it would be great payback if Adam Schiff ended up in the Senate. A couple of tough stories, sad stories. Just in the last couple of days, two Islamic attacks, terrorists in Europe. One in Spain just happened. Two people murdered in church, a sacristan killed preparing for mass, and a priest seriously injured, may die, with a machete. This happened in Spain. In Germany, in northern Germany, on a train, Islamic terrorist comes running down the aisle with a knife and immediately murders two people, wounds seven. Here's the deal. You cannot, jihad knows no mercy and it knows no gratitude, and you cannot have a liberal democracy survive if you import it under the guise of multiculturalism. You simply can't. We've had experience with that ourselves with the 9/11, Boston Marathon, Orlando, San Bernardino, Fort Hood, Chattanooga, Chelsea, Ohio State, Manhattan bike path murders. You cannot convert jihad into liberal democracy. It's as simple as that. Europe made that mistake by Angela Merkel and basically bringing in 1 million Islamic refugees. I mean, they weren't really refugees. They were not being persecuted for their faith or their race. And they came in, and there's been a series of attacks throughout Europe ever since. So put that on your radar. One other thing, another obstructionist move in the Senate, Tom Cotton of Arkansas, who's very bad news, has now announced that he will block all Biden nominees because he's dissatisfied with this issue of Biden's classified documents. And he says he will do it until Biden personally shows him the documents and talks to him about how this occurred and so on. Didn't say anything about Pence, nothing about Trump, has supported Trump. Tom Cotton is a fraud. He wants to be VP is what it is. But I have a larger question. For Pete's sake, why are we still letting, this is the 21st century, one senator hold up every nomination, every ambassador? You know, the thousands of nominations that require Senate confirmation, and they're usually pro forma. And you have clowns like Tom Cotton and Josh Hawley? What? And Ted Cruz? What? Are you kidding me? It's time there's a change in Senate rules. And I don't want to be hearing about Manchin and Sinema going, well, we need the Republicans to go along. They're never going to go along, guys. And you can grind an administration to a halt. Going back to the lines, Jake of Eureka, California, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Jake.
Hey, Matt, since you brought up the Adam Schiff running for the Senate, I would just like to encourage folks, if they had a few extra dollars, to donate to Adam. His website is adamschiff.com. He's, you know, everybody knows how outstanding of an individual he has been in the Congress. You know, he's largely responsible for Donald Trump being impeached. And we need to give our support as Democrats and progressives to Adam Schiff, because Dianne Feinstein, as you said earlier, she's been acting very strangely for a number of years now. She really should step aside now and let somebody else take over who's able to do the job. She's done a great, you know, great job for decades, but she, you know, clearly has some cognitive issues that are impairing her ability to be an effective senator.
Yeah, outstanding comment. I second it. I'll tell you, Adam Schiff is the only guy other than Pete Buttigieg who talks in complete sentences in politics, even with subordinate participles. So I couldn't agree more. Excellent, excellent, excellent guy. And look, I've liked Dianne Feinstein over the years, but for Pete's sake, the elevator doesn't go to the top floor with her. You know, in the Amy Comey Barrett thing, we got railroaded on that one. We got railroaded. Obama was denied a nomination. They rammed Amy Comey Barrett through, and she got up and said, what a wonderful experience this was, and then he hugged Lindsey Graham. Why are you hugging Lindsey Graham, that little sneaky little so-and-so? Are you kidding me? And then Schumer took her aside and said, hey, look, maybe it's time somebody else became chairman, even though you're a senior, and that's what happened. She'd be like 96 or 7 at the end of the next term if she runs. I don't want that. I don't want a Strom Thurmond. The guy would come in, chewing his cud and walking around the room. You want somebody with a little moxie. I think Adam Schiff is the guy. You know, we have Katie Porter running as well. I like Katie Porter, but Adam Schiff is far more able in my view. And then you have Congresswoman Lee, and I think it is, and she's excellent too. But look, Adam Schiff will put it to him. He will put it to the Senate. He will be a leader in the Senate. Probably end up someday as being majority leader of the Senate. And we need, absolutely, you're right, Jake, that if it weren't for him, it would have been hard to have even gotten the impeachment of Donald Trump. And twice, by the way. The second time Raskin took the lead, but the first time it was Adam Schiff, and both of them were terrific. And I can't say enough good things about Adam Schiff. So if you're inclined, you just heard the website from Jake. You can also Google him. Google him. Google Adam Schiff's his candidacy. They'll give the donation website. And let's get some support behind Adam Schiff. The good thing about California is they're not going to, they'll come up with a Republican, some sorry, you know, cur that they drag in from the road, you know, and the guy will get up there and he won't have much to say about anything. So I hope Adam makes it. I really do. And by the way, this has been a great great show. Great call-ins, as always. And remember something. February 21 is the primary for Supreme Court. It will decide gerrymandering for 10 years. It's 3 weeks from next Tuesday. So make sure you vote. If you're not going to be in town, vote absentee. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
There ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.